Chapter 5. Mrs. Dashwood took great pleasure in announcing her departure from Norland to her son-in-law and his wife. Fanny Dashwood said nothing, but Edward seemed surprised and concerned.
"Are you indeed going there? So far from here?" he exclaimed.
Mrs. Dashwood reassured Edward by warmly inviting him to visit them at Barton. To separate Edward from Eleanor was the last thing she wished to do, and this public invitation was also a chance for her to show that she did not care about Fanny Dashwood's disapproval of the match. John Dashwood felt truly sorry that his mother and her family were going to live so far away. Now he would be unable to keep his promise to his father by looking after them with favours and small gifts. Since he had neglected to provide them with any money on his arrival at Norland, Mrs. Dashwood thought that he might see their departure as the most suitable time for him to do so. However, she soon lost hope of this ever taking place. He constantly complained about his own expenses and seemed rather to need more money for himself than to have any design of giving money away. Though Mrs. Dashwood and her daughters were pleased to leave Fanny Dashwood behind them, many tears were shed by them when they finally left their beloved home.
"Dear Norland," said Marianne, "when will I learn to feel at home elsewhere?"
Chapter 6. During the first part of their journey, the family felt dejected, but their mood became more cheerful when Barton Valley came into view. It was a pleasant, fertile spot, surrounded by forests. The house was in good condition. In comparison with Norland, it was very small, but it was comfortable, and Mrs. Dashwood was, upon the whole, well satisfied. The morning after their arrival, they were visited by their landlord, Sir John Middleton. He was a good-looking man of about 40, and thoroughly good-humoured. His manners were as friendly as the style of his letter. Their arrival seemed to give him genuine satisfaction, and he expressed his earnest desire to live on the most sociable terms with them. He cordially invited the Dashwood ladies to dine at his home every day until they were better settled, and his manner seemed so open and friendly that they could not give offence by refusing his invitation.
Chapter 7. Barton Park was about half a mile away from the cottage. The house was large and handsome, and the Middletons lived in an equal style of hospitality and elegance, the former for Sir John's gratification, the latter for his ladies. Lady Middleton was a handsome woman with good manners, but she was reserved and cold and spoke little. However, in Sir John's company, there was never any lack of conversation. There were two other guests at dinner. Mrs. Jennings, Lady Middleton's mother, was a good-humoured, merry, fat, elderly woman, who talked a great deal, seemed very happy, and rather vulgar. She was full of jokes and laughter, and made several comments on the subject of lovers and husbands. Both of her daughters were married, and now she had nothing to do but marry all the rest of the world. The other guest was Colonel Brandon, a friend of Sir John, who was silent and grave. He had a sensible and gentlemanlike manner, and a pleasing appearance, but since he was on the wrong side of 35, Marianne and Margaret considered him an absolute old bachelor. After dinner, Marianne was discovered to be musical, and was invited to play the piano. Sir John was loud in his admiration at the end of every song, and just as loud in his conversation while every song lasted. Marianne was highly applauded by everyone except Colonel Brandon, who listened in silent appreciation. As a result, she felt respect for him, and considered him the only one of the party who had any taste.
Chapter 8. Soon afterwards, Mrs. Jennings declared that Colonel Brandon was in love with Marianne. It would be an excellent match
for he was rich and she was handsome. She had been anxious to see Colonel Brandon married ever since she met him, and was equally anxious to find a husband for every pretty girl. Marianne considered the idea absurd, and thought that Mrs. Jennings must be joking. "He is old enough to be my father. Mrs. Jennings should not make fun of an old and infirm man." "Why do you call Colonel Brandon infirm?" asked Eleanor. "Did you not hear him complain about his rheumatism?" "Is this not a common affliction in old age?" replied Marianne. "Then it must seem to you a miracle that I have survived to the age of 40," laughed her mother. "Oh, he may live another 20 years, said Marianne, "but 35 is too old for matrimony. I must object to your dooming Colonel Brandon to the confinement of the sick chamber merely because he complained of a slight rheumatic feel in one of his shoulders," said Eleanor, and left the room. "Mamma, I'm more worried about Edward's health," said Marianne, after Eleanor had left. "We have been here almost a fortnight, and he has not come." "I did not expect him to come so soon," replied Mrs. Dashwood. "I rather thought that Eleanor was in no immediate hurry for him to visit." "I cannot understand her," cried Marianne. "On their last day at Norland, they were so cold and composed. Their last farewell was like the good wishes of a brother and sister. And Eleanor does not seem melancholy without him. Even now her self-command is invariable."